Man, it's so beautiful. Come on, hope that you've had such a great week. Man, we've seen sunshine this week, which is rare. It's incredible. We love it. We'll take it. It was great. Olivia and I had a great opportunity to go to Circle C Ranch yesterday. And, you know, church, it's good to laugh, and it's good to laugh at people. Have you ever just laughed at people? Like, you got a good laugh at stupid people. Well, this happened yesterday. And as we're driving to Circle C, I mean, we're going there to preach. We're going there to bring God's word and just for snow camp, and just we're juiced up about it. We're pumped up about it. And then there's somebody in front of us driving. And you know, at one point you got to right foot down, dude, like go forward in your little car. Like, what are you doing? Like, we got to get there, man. We got stuff to do. And I'm on my way, and we get behind this Subaru. And, you know, Subarus, they get all their stickers all over their Subarus like they've gone somewhere, right? I'm like, dude, it would take you a week to get to Buffalo. What are you doing? I'm like, come on. So there's a safe zone. And I pass this car, and he's just tooling along. I'm like, dude, move. Like, well, come on. So me and Olivia, and this dude, he couldn't just say it from inside the car. It's cold out. He had to roll down the window and give me the international sign of love with one finger. And then he thought like we had the music on. We're in worship. It's about Jesus. And he's yelling bad words out the window. Like, dude, you can roll back up because no one's listening to you. And Olivia's like, Dad, I think he just, focus, honey, focus. Let's go. And then he pulls into Circle C. I'm like, no, I'm kidding. Now that'd have been funny right there. But he did not pull into Circle C. And that would have been, oh, I'd have loved that moment. You just, come on. Woo. So it was, and we laughed, and it was great. And man, I hope that you can laugh at stupid people as well. Come on. And if you're here today, God bless you with your Subaru and your stickers, man. Come on. Amen. Oh my goodness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Here we go. Man, we're so pumped that you're with us. So good to see so many this morning. And as we're going to continue into our message today, we're going to look at the continuation, part two of But As For Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord. And last week, we looked at the individual who said this. You got to see the man behind the statement. And there's a man named Joshua. We covered it last week. We looked at Numbers 14. We looked at Joshua 24. We looked at Joshua being a warrior. We looked at Joshua and Moses and Aaron and Caleb, 4 out of over 2 million. Get it? 4. Look at your odds. Out of over 2 million people who said 40 years before Joshua won, he said, listen, we can go in and possess the land. God's given us the land. It's our land. He's promised it to us through Abraham hundreds of years ago. And the promise, we're right here. Whoop, we're right on the threshold, man. Let's go. And then for that, the people wanted to stone them for their confidence and their expectation that God meant what he said. When he said, I gave you this land, go in. The people's land, the people that are in their land, their protection has been taken from them. Go in, you got this. And you had 4 people out of 2 million saying, let's go in, we got this, because God is for us. Who can be against us? They understood an all-powerful God. They understood God of all miracles. They understood God can do anything that he said he's going to do. God will do it. And then we looked at just that 40 years in the wilderness because of the people's doubt and disbelief. And we looked at a man named Joshua who comes to a place when Moses passes away. Joshua gets the realm and he gets to be in charge. And we talked about it last week that he was one of the greatest generals in biblical history. He's a 4-star general, man. He understood what it was to be a warrior and to be a soldier. And I believe he's one of the top 3 that has seen so much bloodshed. Because when he got into the promised land, and it starts in Joshua 1, you see him just begin to just crush people after people, kingship after kingship, city after city, village after village, in the command of God, saying, go in, possess the land, I've given it to you. And Joshua says, we are not going back to the wilderness for 40 years. And the people, 2 million strong, followed him. And there was just devastation of them just going in under the hand of God. And you see these miracles where the sun stands still for one battle. And you see where I love the New American Standard. It says, I believe it's in Joshua 10, where it says, and God threw hailstones at the people. And we believe it's a hail storm, but the Bible says he threw. And I could imagine God in heaven with these ice balls that he could create, right? And he's just, boom, like Like, God doesn't miss. It's not like God's like, oh, a little to the right. Nuts. No, God never misses, right? And the Bible says he threw these hailstorms. Matter of fact, they began to see God move. And the Bible says more people died by the hailstorm than by the sword. And when you really understand, God is powerful. And he will do what he said he will do. And I want this, man. I want this for this series. You know, I talked about it last week, this phrase, but as for me, it's personal for me and it's deep for me. And I really felt the freedom to be able to minister on this year and just the start of this year. And what would it mean if we really came to a place to buy into the biblical truth to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not looking at your house. I'm not looking at your house. I'm not looking at your business. I'm not looking at your business. I'm looking at my business. And my business is my house. And my house is going to serve the Lord. What would happen this year? Honestly, what would happen this year if you bought into that at the beginning part of 2019? What do you think December would look like in 2019 if you really came to a place to focus and concentrate on you and your house? And you, if a young person, maybe you don't have quite the family yet. If you're a college student or a young adult, maybe you would come to a place to realize what this really looks like to say, but as for me, I'm not worried about this person. I'm not worried about public view, and I'm not worried about popular view, and I'm not worried about this view. But I am worried about God's view, and his is the view that matters most. And you're a young person, and you put your stake in the ground, and you say, I will not be moved. But as for me, what happened this year? And I love this. I want to read and I want to get into this because when Joshua, who is this amazing, mighty man of God, who stood against millions by himself with three others, to say, God said it, man, let's move forward. And he comes to this place. Isn't it amazing that after all of this, after all the miracles that they saw, isn't it amazing that they arrived? Joshua 24 is the end. I mean, they're in the promised land. They won. God gave them the victory to possess the land. But even in the midst, watch this now, please hear this. Even in the midst of victory, even when they arrived, after seeing God's hand move in so many miraculous, amazing, supernatural ways, Joshua still had to present a choice. Joshua still had to say, hey, you still got to choose. That's after they had already arrived. And there was an amazing abundance of victory after victory after victory. Church, what is it when you come to that place in time that you've come to that place of victory and you've arrived and yet you still have to make a choice? And I believe it's a day in and day out. But as for me, I'm not going to get caught up in this. I'm not going to get caught up in that. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Come on, let's look at this. Joshua 24, verse 14. Father, please, in Jesus' name, help me to communicate this in such a way, God, that we walk out of this place. We dare not be the same when we leave this place. Father, amazing time in worship, amazing time in communion. We love you, Jesus. We owe you everything, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. By your spirit, it's written down for us to know this amazing story. And let it put it into our lives and let us be changed by this. Father, your word will never come back empty. It will not come back void. And God, speak into our lives in this, that we walk out different, all of us, God, from when we came in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, look at this. Got a cruise. Joshua 24, verse 14 says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. We're going to cover these five words. Put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight. Watch this, man. This is at the end of the game. You've already won the game. Right? You've already got the victory in the game. Could you imagine the coach coming to you and say, at the end of the Super Bowl, which you won, the coach come and say, hey, we've battled all year, we've won the game, but you still have a choice to make. Like, what? Do you want to be on this team? Because you're just like, what do you mean? Why are you giving us this choice? Because when you know the history of the Israelites, man, God moved, they rebelled. God moved, they rebelled. God moved. They rebelled. God moved. They rebelled. So Joshua's like, today's the day, man. Make a choice. Who's it going to be? And I love this. I love the aggression in this, man. I love the warrior spirit in Joshua in this, going, listen, we've been there, done that. We've had the win before, but we gave it up and we rebelled. We've had the win before. We've saw God's hand move, but we rebelled. And amazing at times when you already have the victory, You're still presented with a choice. And this is the game right here, man. This is amazing. Look at this. Look at this. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, there it is, there it is. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And man, I love this because we're going to go right back to verse 14. It says this. And I love how he sets it up. He says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But he gives us the pitch beforehand. Like he pitched a strike and said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But he tells us how his house is going to serve the Lord. Actually, before he actually says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he says this, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to fear the Lord and we're going to serve him in sincerity and truth. And we're going to put away the gods of our fathers. And I love these words. When you come to a place to break down and listen, and this is where I really wanted to spend some time this morning. Now this afternoon, got a few minutes here. You come to a place to realize what it means to really fear the Lord. Because this is kind of a big deal, man. It's a big word. It's found all through Scripture, again and again and again. And you know, when you hear the word fear, I mean, what do you think? Like when you hear the word fear, you know, I'm supposed to fear God. I mean, I know that I'm a New Testament saint that makes me a son and daughter and that he is my Abba Father. And there's this intimacy and there's this relationship and it's very personal. But what does it really mean when the Bible says fear the Lord? Because it's Old Testament and it's New Testament. What does the Bible really mean? What it looks like biblically to fear the Lord? And this actual word, New Testament and Old Testament, it literally means to be afraid. Well, what do you mean be afraid? Because when you talk about God, listen, when he's saying fear the Lord, listen, you can never lose on the part that God is intimidating. God can throw hail bombs from heaven and kill everybody. God can throw fire down from heaven and cause this water to be licked up from Elijah and everyone falls on their face. Listen, when Jesus returns on a horse and he speaks and there's a sword that comes forward, like, listen, God is intimidating. Whether you like it or not, he is intimidating. If you read Scripture, read about the flood, that's intimidating. Read about Revelation, that's intimidating. And when you realize what it means to balance between God is intimidating, but yet at the same time, God is good. So where is that balance to know God is intimidating, but God is good? And when you understand that balance, it will propel you to get to your purpose. And their purpose was this, to walk in that promised land and come to a place to choose. We're going to serve God. And man, we're going to walk in a fear of God. And I love that because, please hear this. Sometimes we think fear, we think like scary movie. Like we think like Freddy Krueger, or we think some evil movie, or we think, you know, please hear me. This is not that. This isn't nightmarish stuff. This isn't the idea that you went to the movies, a movie you probably shouldn't have seen, or you watched a movie on TV that really was evil driven and it was very dark driven. And then you had nightmares that night because you were fearful of evil. No, there's this intimidation factor of what it means that we are to be afraid of God in an intimidation factor and yet understand that yet he is still good. Watch this. Knowing the sheer power of God, knowing that God is all powerful. He will do whatever it takes to get it, to really get his promises through. Man, that should bring us to a place of the highest respect. See, when you're driven by a fear of the Lord, a proper, healthy fear of God, it drives you to a place of reverence and awe. You see, you and I are called to stand in awe of God. Would we do that if he was this wimpy little God that really didn't back up anything that he said? Like as a dad, or even as a mom. But like, I'm the dad of my house, man. And listen, when I said to do something, I meant to do it. And I want my kids not to be afraid of me in fear, but to have the highest respect, to know God, you know, dad meant what he said. And if I don't do it, there's a consequence to that. And it's not because he doesn't love me. He loves me dearly. But when you earn the respect or reverence or awe of your kids, what happens when you earn, when God has earned, rightfully so, the reverence, respect, and awe of you? There is a response to obedience that propels you to your purpose. Man, I just, quick story is I went into Scotland, Renee and I, and we took a team into Scotland. We were on a team that went into Scotland, and they asked me to preach on Sunday morning and then Sunday night, and then we did VBS during the week, and we show up on Saturday, And we show up and someone booked us in this hostel. And maybe you've heard me tell this story before, but we stayed in a hostel. And when the church on Saturday, when they found out that we were in this particular hostel, they're like, there's no way. That is the worst area. That hostel is the worst hostel. There's no way that you can stay there. The reputation is just, and they're just, I mean, they were panicking. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm up all night. I get to protect. I mean, I was like, game on, right? So, but it was funny because they're like, oh, it's the worst place. There's no way you can stay there, but you have to stay there tonight. I'm like, ah. We'll find different arrangements tomorrow. And so we go and we preach, and they made arrangements for us that night to stay with particular people in the church. And I preached on the fear of the Lord in Scotland. And when I really got into the idea of it propels us to really walk in a place to have a reverence for God because of his authority, because of his power, because of his might. I had a woman meet me at the back door, and she says, I can't believe you, but I don't believe that we're ever to be afraid of God. I disagree with your message. And I'm like, I'm just like, oh, crushed, you know? I'm like, I thought that was my A game, man. I'm thinking, oh, I'm in Scotland. It's just amazing. And whoo, I'm thinking, man, you just die. So out of honor, I go to the pastor in his office and say, hey, listen, just so you know, this just happened. A woman in your church, she came to me and she just totally disagreed with the message. And I don't know you. I honor you. This is your house. This isn't my house. And sir, if you disagreed, I stand by the word. But if you disagreed, I'm not here to cause problems. I don't need to preach tonight. And in all reality, and he's like, oh, let me guess who it was. On my first day here, she met me at the back door. And he's like, we agree with that message. You're preaching tonight. But, oh, just take a guess whose house we slept in, right? It was her house. I'm like, seriously, you put us in her home, Renee and I. She was great. She was a great host. She never even brought up her wrong, and it was amazing. But I say that to say sometimes when you understand the fear of the Lord, it can bring some confusion because we are his children, and God is good. And God is just, and he is fair, and God is, he is graceful. And he's not a God with a hammer in his hand just ready to punch us in the face every time we screw up. That's not our God. But what happens when you walk in a proper and a healthy fear of the Lord? Because we know how great he is. We know how powerful he is. We know that he is intimidating. And that would drive us to walk in this place of reverence. Drive us to be in this place of awe of who he is. Come on, when you look at this, it drives us to know him and to be in awe of him and to stand in reverence of him. Man, I love Psalm 33:8 says this. I want you to see this. Psalm 33:8. It says this. Let all the earth, what? Fear the Lord. And let all the inhabitants of the world, that's us. Let all the earth fear the Lord, same word. Let all the earth be afraid. Let all the world, and listen, your version, it might actually say, let all the earth walk in a reverence or walk in that place of respect. And it's based on a healthy fear of God. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants, that's us in the world, what? Stand in awe of him. Can I ask you, when you begin to see through scripture, it talks about you personally, man. You, and Joshua says, this is, that's for me and my house. He brings it in to being so personal that this is what my house is going to do. Man, as for me, I'm going to fear the Lord. As for me, I understand his power and might. We've all seen his glory. We've all seen his power. We all should walk in a reverence, but I don't know what you're going to do. But he says, listen, but as for me, this is where we land, man. We're going to walk in a proper, healthy reverence and awe of God because we know who he is and his power and authority, and he will not have any competition. You know what happens when you and I come to a place to make it personal for 2019? They say, man, I'm going to walk in a place that has a reverence for God because I know his power and his authority, and I will walk in a healthy fear of him. And you come to a place where he says, and serve him. The word serve here, it means work. And church, we know that we're not saved by works. You're not saved by a do list. You're not saved because you come to church in your attendance. You're not saved because you give. You're not saved because you've done this or that religion-wise. You're saved because Jesus Christ put himself on a cross. You're saved because of God's amazing grace, that we are saved by grace through our faith that is not of ourselves. It's not that any man should boast. You don't get to the end of the game and say, I hope I did enough. Listen, when I talk to people and say, man, tell me your story. What's your faith? Well, I hope I did enough. And right there, my heart breaks because you missed it. It's not about doing enough. Wouldn't it be horrible if you just think, maybe I just need to do one more thing to be good enough? What a horrible line that is. What a horrible line that would be. But it is by grace and it is through faith. But on that, when you understand what it looks like to know the Father and to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you've come to that place to true salvation, there is this desire to serve and there's this desire to do and there's this desire to come to this place. As 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, and I love it. It's one of my staple verses, man. It says, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my work in him is not in vain. Yeah, we are called to serve the Lord. We are called to work in his name. We are called to live for him. We are called, I love this. He says, listen, but as for me, this is where we land. Man, we're going to serve God. We're going to work for God. Man, we're going to walk in a place to be steadfast and immovable. Man, I am not going to be moved. I will be unshakable. I belong to a kingdom that's unshakable. Can you please put Hebrews up, please? Hebrews 12:28 just speaks to this. I love this. Watch this. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom, we receive a kingdom, not your kingdom, his kingdom. We receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I will be steadfast and immovable. I will not be moved. Man, we receive a kingdom that will not be shaken. Watch this. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice with what? With reverence and awe. God, I'm going to come to a place. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do it through reverence. I'm going to do it through awe. I'm going to do it through a healthy fear of you. I'm going to be steadfast and immovable. Man, I'm going to abound. I love the word abound. It means to excel in your work because I know. I love the word know. I know that my service of you, it's not empty. That's what vain means, empty. It's not empty. God, every time I serve you, there's fruit. I may not see it. It may not show up right away. But God, your word tells me that if I am steadfast and immovable, and Father, if I have abound in your work, that your work, that which I serve you, not myself, not in a self-centered way, but that which I really come to a place to serve you, in that, God, it will not be empty. It will never come back void. Man, I bank on that's true. I live like that's true. And I love this. Man, we got to get in this because he says, okay, fear the Lord and serve him. But there's a hitch here. There's an idea. Okay, well, how do you do that? It has to be in sincerity and in truth. And sincerity, it just simply means without being a hypocrite. Be authentic. Be sincere when you have this reverence of God. Be sincere in your service of him. Don't do it for show. Do it for him. Don't do it so your name is known and then fake it on the outside where you're just a mess on the inside. That's called a hypocrite. That's opposite of being sincere. I mean, and I love it. Jesus was real, man. Jesus, he called out the Pharisees as hypocrites. He says, you are a bunch of hypocrites. Man, you worship me with your lips only, man. Your heart is far from me. Man, what you show on the outside is not what's going on the inside. And he went after and says, you've taxed all these people and you've given them all these laws that's actually caused them to go away from me instead of towards me. And he calls them a brood of vipers. Like he's like, whoo, like Jesus is like, let me punch you right in the mouth and let you know what I really think. That's Jesus. What happens when we lay down our facade and we lay down the fake and we really just come to a place? Say, God, I want to be real with you. And I really want people to know that I'm real on the outside as I am on the inside. Church, it doesn't mean you don't struggle. Everyone struggles. Church, it don't mean you walk on water. Nobody's walked on water. Two people, one failed. One sank. Like, you're not walking on water. You're not going to be perfect. But you can be real about it. You can stop trying to fake it.
because he's, listen, this is what God wants. He says, I want you to have this awe of me and this reverence of me. I want you to have this healthy fear of me. And man, I want you to serve me, but I don't want you to fake it. Don't be so great on Sunday and forget about me on Monday. Don't just come do your deal on Sunday. We've never had a church that checks the box. I want you here to check the box. That's not who we are. We're a group of people in a community that says, let's just get together and honor and worship God and get into this. It's absolutely true. And man, let's see God change a region. I don't need your attendance card. We don't have membership here. I don't want you to come because you're a member. I want you to come because you want to love God and worship Him and serve Him. We have opportunity to do that. I want you to come not because you're doing your duty to check a box, because you have such an idea of what it means to walk in this desire to be in His presence and to serve Him. And it's not just for an hour plus on a Sunday, but it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, and it's Thursday, and it's Friday, and Saturday. And then we come back as the family on Sunday and just go get it. Authenticity, man. It's being authentic. It's being real. That's what God wants. And Joshua's like, that's what my house is going to be. You do whatever you think you got to do. But as for me and my house, see, we're going to serve the Lord. And it's going to be authentic. It's not going to be fake. It's not going to be a show on Sunday. And not the same on Monday. He says this in sincerity, verse 14, and in truth. You see, truth, it means you got to be loyal. See, God looks for the loyal and He looks for the faithful. And it's amazing that He's got to add this piece here, because again, they're just coming off of such an incredible victory after victory and seeing God's hand move and move and move. But Joshua says, listen, if it's going to be authentic, if it's going to be sincere, if it's going to be real, I need you to be faithful and loyal. Because I've seen you go forward and then rebel. I've seen you go forward and then rebel. God, you've moved in such amazing ways. And then you see over and over the children of Israel fall back and rebel. Fall back and build an idol. Fall back and build a calf with gold. And they fall back and, I mean, it's just amazing. But are we honestly, man? Are we that much different? We see God move and then we drift. We see God move, and then we drift. And Joshua's like, stop. God needs us to be loyal. He needs us to be faithful. He needs us to be true. And I love this. Last idea is this. And I hope you get this, because the next two words he says, you need to put away the God of your fathers. And this is an amazing word, put away. It has this deep meaning of you need to behead, and you need to cut off, and you need to change course. That which comes between you and God. This is so good. So now he's like, listen, you need to walk in a fear of God. You need to serve Him in sincerity and truth. But listen, all of that will be for nothing if you don't behead that which is in the way. If you don't cut off that which is the distraction. And it means to change one's course. If you stay on the same course that you're going and you haven't walked in a fear of God and you haven't walked in this place to serve the Lord and you haven't been sincere and you haven't been faithful, you just keep going. There's an end game consequence to that. But he's saying this, and this is so real. Listen, I've seen you go forward and move back. I've seen you go forward and move back. I've seen you go forward and rebel. And it's time to stop all that. It's time to cut away that which is in the way. It's time to put away, and it's time to behead anything that comes in between me and God. And this is what he's telling over 2 million people. It's time to cut loose anything that is a distraction between us and him. And he says, you need to choose what you're going to do. But he says, but as for me and my house, this is who we're going to be. So let me ask you, in a sense of, what does your house look like, even when this sinks into your spirit, but as for me and my house? Man, I love it if you're a young person here and you're about to get married and you're coming to a place where you know maybe you found the one and you're becoming the one. I don't like finding the one, I like becoming the one.
And you're serious about what it means to say, but as for me and my house, what does that look like for you? What if you're a teenager in this place, a young person, and you're 18 and below, and you're just like, man, it's a struggle because there's so much political view, and there's so much popular view, and there's so much even family view that doesn't line up with God's view. And gang, listen, please hear this. If you're a teenager in this place, you're going to have to gear up, man. You're going to have to deal with some things. Political view is not going to go your way. Popular view is not going to go the way of the word, just so you know. If you really come to a place today to say, but as for me, man, because he says, listen, choose today who you're going to serve. Man, if you're a young person, you got to know, man, it's not going to get easier. But man, with God, all things are possible. And if he's for me, who can be against me? I don't fear, man. You come to this place to understand that. As a young person, you put your stake in the ground. As someone who's getting married, you put your stake in the ground and say, listen, as for me, my house, we do it this way, man. We're going to do it God's way. Please hear me. Please hear me. Because I think sometimes, honestly, what gets in the way at times most that we need to behead is our opinion. Well, my opinion is this. Well, I see it this way. Well, my opinion is this. And honestly, I think our opinion, when it goes against what God's already said, I know what God said, but my opinion is this. Did you just hear yourself? I know what God said. But man, I think I know more than him. I'm kind of going with popular opinion on this one. Man, everybody can't be wrong. Have you heard of the flood? I'm going to go with political view on this one. I know they took a vote. It must be right. Really? What happens when today? Happens today. Watch this, man. Come on. What happens if today, if you behead your opinion and you cut it away when it's anything other than what God already said? Come on, just bow your heads, please. We're close. Can I just ask, where are you in this morning? I mean, like today, right now, where are you? Because I think your opinion sometimes wants to just hold on and it'll fight you. You ever have your opinion fight you? Like, you know what God said, but you actually like your opinion? My opinion is kind of the fun way. My opinion is kind of the easy way. I don't have to go against the grain. I don't have to disagree with everybody else. I don't, man, my opinion. You ever just really get in an argument with your opinion? What happens? See what happens when you behead your opinion. When you cut it off, what happens when you remove it? Because it truly was the opinion of the Israelites to say, no, I don't believe God can take us in. My opinion is that they're stronger than us and they're bigger than us and we're going to fail. That's my opinion. But God's word already said, I've got this. I've taken their protection off of them. Go in. It was their opinion that caused them to wander for 40 years. Joshua was like, listen, you gotta behead that thing. You gotta cause it to die. Father, we just, in this moment, we just come in this place, God, and we look at where we're at this morning in this, and we want to walk in a healthy fear of you. Just a reverence of you, God, that would drive us to our purpose. We want to walk in a place of what it really looks like to serve you with a sincerity, being very authentic, very transparent from the inside out, just being the same, not perfect, but not faking it. And God, help us to walk in a place of loyalty and faithfulness. We won't be a people that quit on you, God. We won't be a people that say, it didn't go my way, so I'm out. I didn't get what I wanted, so I back up. God, let us not be that people. Father, let us come to a place to behead anything that comes between us and you. Cut cut it off. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, church. Amen, church. Come on. Amen. God bless you. It's going to be a beautiful week, I think. Tomorrow's going to be gorgeous. Enjoy the sunshine tomorrow. Come on, bring somebody next week. Come on, we're going to a new But As For Me next week. Don't miss it. Come on, bring somebody. Love you.